Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to my podcast. Today's guest is Nikos Zizis. We talked a lot about his career outside of Greece. He is one of the few Greek players that built his career outside in five different countries throughout his whole career before he's finished his career in Greece again. We talked about the transition to different roles from playing a lot in Treviso to going to CSKA and adjusting to a smaller role. So the challenges that came with that. We talked about his value system, the virtues and values that he holds, where that comes from. Actually, it was more simpler than I thought. The habits and routines from him that he goes through each day, each game day, that was very interesting to listen to what he goes through and what he tries to do day in, day out. Also, we talked obviously about retirement. And before he retired, he also did a lot of mentorship as a veteran to young players. And we talked actually right in the beginning about what he sees in young players that was not the same when he was playing, but also having the presence of mind to understand that it is a different generation, it is a different world, so we all have to adjust. Please enjoy this episode. If you're not subscribed yet, please subscribe to the YouTube channel as well as the podcast on all podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, yada, yada, yada. So if you're enjoying what you listen to, please leave a comment, like it, share it, and see you on the next one. Enjoy. Action. Nikos, welcome. Thanks for joining.
Yes. Thanks for having me. Hello.
Yeah, everybody I talk to, you know, is in high opinion of you. So we will talk a lot about your professionalism, about your values, your virtues, because I'm very curious about where it comes from, where it originally is from, and how other players, younger generation, can take an example from it. Because everybody is just, I mean, I think that anything you will do after your career finishes, you will be successful. Just a matter of choosing. But we will get to this. Before we get to that, today is October 5th as we're recording it. I want to know, how did you survive without Instagram for 6 hours?
Okay. I have Instagram, but also I have Twitter. And I'm one of those that I like more Twitter than Instagram. I don't use Instagram that much. So last night was a fun night for all Twitter friends, you know? For all the guys that prefer Twitter. But yeah, it's incredible how, you know, how our society is now depending on this, and how different was this 6-7 hours. It's incredible.
Big time, big time. And I saw, I'm sure you saw also all the memes this morning about how Twitter buried Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp. Yes. The whole basketball world on WhatsApp, I think, was distorted for 6 hours, and everybody had to find new ways of communicating. I mean, I joined Viber for an hour. I think I will delete it again. But you have to be innovative now.
Yes, I heard also a lot of people, they were saying that they fell asleep, at least in Europe, you know, that it was all this happened evening and in the night in Europe, and a lot of people fell asleep very early because they had nothing to do. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's one of the things you understand, that, you know, life is not only social media, but unfortunately for many people is, or it's the major part of their life.
It's a good thing, I think, that we realize that we are very maybe too connected socially with too many things, with too much information, and then at the end, when it's all gone, you all of a sudden you feel like this emptiness coming over you, yes. You know. And actually, let's start with that topic, because I wanted to get to that later, but because we're there, I have my coffee on the left, my notes on the right, and you in front of me, and we will start with social media. So my question to you is, in terms of mentorship throughout your career, how many times did you encounter the next generation using their phone too much, using the being on social media too much, and how did you try to, I'm sure you encountered it, but how did you try to make them understand that there's a line where you are distracting yourself from the main thing. You know, they're not keeping the main thing the main thing. It's more about social media in a lot of instances than it is about getting better.
Yes, that's very correct what you're saying. The last years of my career, it was one of the main topics that I was talking with my younger teammates. In my opinion, balance is the key. We have to understand that we live now, it's 2021. It's in our life and in also athletes' life. All the young guys and young generations need to understand that, a professional basketball athlete, the main thing he needs to have on his mind is basketball. And everything needs to be around this and how to get better, how to live a proper life of a professional basketball player, how to eat, how to rest, and how to find the right way to get better each and every day. Of course, social media is one of the also of the things, as I said, that it's in our life, and also young athletes want to be a lot connected with this, and they want to post every single hour something or their own personal achievement. But okay, this can any guy can be different. Let's say some people that they have successes, they want to share it more. Some people less. But the main thing that is that every young guy needs to understand that they are very blessed and very lucky with the opportunity to have a very good or a great career, and these are days and years that they are not coming back, and they need to have all their personal focus, and all their life needs to be around how to get better and how to do the things to give themselves the opportunity to have a great career.
Yeah, and it's like you said, like it's 2021, and we're the same age. We're both born in 83, but right. we don't want to sound like the old grandpa talking there, like no, yes. We didn't have that. So you're absolutely right, and I agree that it's 2021, and we have to also understand that there's a different dynamic there in place, especially because there's also in the long term for them, for social media use, there's also a opportunity to make money through social media, through gaining more followers. So it's also a revenue, right. a source of extra income in the future. So there's a balance of that, right. And there's something in their mind as well. But what people tell me also, you were mature at an early age. And yes. during our time, there was no social media. It was just the internet was just starting to grow in the late 2000s when you started your professional career. What made you, like, who helped you to find this early maturity, or did you just growing up, did you just discover it yourself because you have a strong value system, you have a strong belief system? Where does it originate from, and how did it help you throughout your career?
Honestly, Benas, I think that I had it inside myself. It was something natural to me. I was never even playing, as a young kid here in Thessaloniki, that I currently live. When I start playing basketball, everybody's telling me, from my father, my coaches, my teammates, that I get to see them even now, 20, 25 years later, that when I was stepping on the court, I was always taking it very seriously. And as I said, it was, honestly, I cannot explain this, how it came from a very young age. I was just, when I was stepping on the court, I was having fun, but I was taking it very seriously. I was trying the maximum I could do. Then when also a big thing, in my opinion, is when I became professional, and my first professional coach was the late Duda Ivković. Mm-hmm. And that he passed away some days ago. And now I have the chance even publicly to tell him and to say how important was for me to have him as a coach, imagine I was 17 then. And that was an incredible lesson for me, that I was still a teenager, that I went in Athens and I really taught a lot from him, also from my teammates at the time. But his figure, his personality, and that you need to be 100% focused and 100% to give the effort every single day, not only when you feel good, not only when you have a game day. I think that was very important to shape my character and generally my personality as a professional, how the thing is working here, you know, that it's a high-pressure environment. You need to, you know, be able to perform. You need to be able to perform for your team in a daily basis, in a every 2-3 days that there are games. But I taught very well from him what means to be a man that he's working very hard to do the things the right way. And when you function like this in a daily basis, I think good things can happen.
Yeah, it set you on the right path early on. I think for every young player to have this professional and high performing environment with, you know, also the coach, but also as well as the players around you, to guide you and to put you into the right direction. But it starts with the head coach, and it starts with you know, like a straight line and clear guidelines for the career.
And to complete my thought, that at the time, AEK, that was my first team, it was a team with a big tradition and a very good budget and team with high goals. My very first year, we were in the top four teams of EuroLeague. If you remember, Ben, it was at the time that was EuroLeague and Super League that year. That was the two separated European championships. But also was giving the chance to young guys. And that was also something very important for me, that I, in my opinion, I was in the right spot because I had a great coach, a great coaching staff, very organized team, good veterans, but also many young guys. That one of them was Yanis Bourousis, also Christos Taputos, a guy that he also had a very good career. Not as famous in European stand, but he was an excellent talent. So I was the right team, in my opinion, because it was giving the chance to many young guys to develop both their personality and their skills. And really, it was great for us.
Yeah, this was exactly the time, 2000 through 2005, as I see, that I was in the States. So I didn't follow European basketball as much. But from your tellings and from my experience later on, when we faced Duda, he always gave a chance to young players. At Olympiakos also, you could see when it was Papanikolaou, Manzaris, all those young players coming up, they received a chance and they had opportunity even on a high on a big stage in the Final Four to have the confidence to play them, which shows also gives the guys the chance to grow.
Yes, absolutely right. Absolutely right. My experience with Coach Duda was that I was seeing a young guy with work ethic, and also as a person that he didn't like so cocky guys. That was my experience with him. He wanted humility. He wanted guys with the understanding of their talent, the opportunity they had. And also, it was in my opinion, in his head, it was that it was great for his team that I have my veterans, but you always need some new blood. You only, you know, you cannot have a team with 10 veterans. It's impossible. But you cannot also have a team with 10 young guys, because it's going to be overwhelming for them. So I believe that he wasn't afraid to take the chance on them. And as I said, even because it's something, it's a process how to put a young guy into a big team, and especially in EuroLeague, in this high level, you know, you will take a lot of lessons until you become a player. Let's put it this way. It's a long process. And as I said, in a daily basis, from practices, from maybe games in domestic leagues that they are not as difficult as EuroLeague games. But Coach Duda was one of them that he was believing in this process. And as I said, when he was watching young players to try hard every day, he was always giving them the chance, always.
And again, as you said, like as I said earlier about social media, now also about roster buildup, it's more about balance than about having one concrete idea. It's about balance between the two, but between old and young in this case. But to get back onto the career track, after AEK, you were one of the few players from your generation, or maybe the only one that, that sticks out, that built your career outside of Greece. So, like you went to Italy, you went to Russia, CSKA, then you back to Italy, Spain, Russia again in Kazan, then Fenerbahce, Bamberg four seasons, I believe, right? Four seasons.
Right.
And then Badalona. So you were building your career outside of Greece. I was wondering, where did this how did you go about making this decision, and what was the reason for the main reason for making choosing this path?
I will tell you, Ben, now that everything is said and done, you know, that it's, and it's very nice talking about this. And actually, like many times in life, everything started by accident. Mm-hmm. So at the time, 2005, I just finished my fifth year in AEK, and it was my best year. I was already grown. I want to say better. I grown a lot as a player. I had a very good EuroLeague season. The team, first of all, had a great season. We went in the finals with Panathinaikos. We almost reached the top eight of EuroLeague with a young AEK team at the time. But I was feeling great there. And the only thing on my mind was to stay at home. That was my home for me, even that I come from Thessaloniki. But after 5 years in Athens, I was feeling great. I was already a member of Greek national team, and I just wanted to stay. But financial problems started in AEK. Mm-hmm. Financial problems started. And then owner, Mr. Filippo, me and my agent, we understood that probably it's time that I have to go, because I didn't have a buyout. I had a guaranteed contract for the following year. But the financial problems of the club and the interest of many European teams, you could tell that most likely I will be sold in one of the teams. So the will of Mr. Filippo, the owner of AEK, is that I don't want to sell you in Olympiakos or Panathinaikos. Mm-hmm. You know, you are one of my favorite players. You know, I would wish to be here forever, but I cannot give you Olympiakos or Panathinaikos, so you need to choose. And I remember I was feeling very bad, but understanding that I was about to go. I was in the preseason with the national team, the summer when we won the European Championship 2005, mm-hmm. and talking to my agent, I understand that I have to make a decision. It was about July, and then it was Dynamo Moscow. That was again Duda Ivković as a as a coach, Benetton Treviso. So these were the two options that I had. And for some reason, I chose Benetton because my main concern in Russia, it was cold. Really, I remember very well. It's funny that 2 years after, finally I ended up playing 4 years in Russia almost. But that summer, because Dusan Ivković, I talked about him some minutes ago, that I was feeling great to play for him, but something was stopping me about Dynamo and about just living in Russia. So, you know, I didn't know, actually, I know very little things about European basketball at the time, only the EuroLeague teams. Okay, Benetton was a EuroLeague team, of course. And it was the change of Ettore Messina and David Blatt took over that year. So, and it was a big shape of a change of the roster, and a lot of changes happened that summer. So I made up my mind, and I did it like that, Ben. I said, you know what? That was the best decision of my life. You know? But as I said, in my head, I would never want to leave Greece. It's funny, because a lot of people tell me, oh, you are different as a Greek. You know, all the Greek players want to stay in Greece and drink their favorite coffee and all this. But
Nescafe.
Yes, Nescafe and Freddo now. But okay, Nescafe was before. But anyway, really, it was a great journey for me, and started this way. And actually, when we won the European Championship in Belgrade in end of September, 2 days later, when I went to Treviso, it was shocking for me, man. It was I couldn't believe that after, you know, living in Athens with my people, my friends, that I had to go in a small village in Treviso. And I think all this saved my character too. This path that life brought me, you know, yeah. And I understood that, but everything was because I was in love with basketball. So I had difficulties like all of us. And it was hard at times, especially remember my first year, my days off was very difficult because I was homesick. I wanted to be in Athens with my friend, especially the days off. Mm-hmm. Every day I was giving 100%, you know, with my team, and we had a great team, and we ended up winning the Italian league and doing great. You know, at the time, even now, it's a very tough league, but at the time was a very good league. And I played with Andrea Bargnani, who was the number one draft, and Drew Nicholas and Ramona Siskauska and Matteo Soragna, Marco Mortende. So we had a great team, and it was great for me. But overall, how it happened, it took at least 1 year to feel more comfortable of not being in Greece. Mm-hmm. It really took at least 1 year.
That's one thing I was wondering as well. You went from culture to culture, basically experiencing different spectrum. I call it spectrum of people, because through my experiences, I left Lithuania at the age of 5, but I left Germany at the age of 17. And from that point on, my spectrum of people grew. Like I saw so many, a big variety of different personalities, different cultures, different attitudes, different ways of speaking, understanding. And this helped me tremendously now in my job also to adjust, to adapt, to figure out, you know, to read between the lines and see what the person actually means, you know, when they say a certain thing. So I'm wondering also, Kyle Heinz talked about it as well. How much did you have to completely forget of what was before in Athens and just absorb yourself in the culture? Because Kyle also talked about it when he was on, about, you know, coming from the US is even different. You're going yes. like from the US yes. to Europe and a completely different continent with completely different mindset everywhere. And everything is congested. And he went into a small village. He said he was driving up the mountain. He was further yes. up and up. And everything yes. was yes. everything was isolated. And he told them, he told me that the best advice he was given to by Jerome Allen, who was his teammate at the time.
I remember that,
that he has to forget everything what happened in the US and mm-hmm. see this as his home. So how much of that was that in your mentality, or if not, who helped you to understand that this is a new path, a new experience for you?
Yes, as you said, Dennis, I believe coming for American players is way more difficult. Mm-hmm. The fact that the most of them don't have the chance even to get back, even for a 2 days off to go back at home. You know, Italy, Greece, it's one flight. It's 145 flight. You know, it was easy for me. I remember my first year that I mentioned how I was homesick and everything. I was home at least 3-4 times during the season. So it's I believe it's a complete different thing. The fact that, you know, even mm-hmm. Having a day and a half off, that you can go back home and just see a couple of friends, see your parents, see your girlfriend maybe or something. So this is different. But the fact that I wanted to learn how to speak Italian. And it just came from inside that I want to feel more engaged and more that I'm at home. Trying to speak their language. And that I have to say that Matteo Soragna and Marco Mortende, my two teammates in Treviso, they were the two guys that I never had a lesson in Italian, never. You know, speaking with them every day, but I was really, sometimes I believe they wanted to cash me out because I was, I was asking them every, how do you say this? How you say this? How, why this word? Why this? Why that? It was incredible. But even in the end of my first year already, I could communicate. I could understand basically everything. And that was a big change of how it made me feel too. The fact that I could understand, as you mentioned, the culture of people, you know, how to do the things. And it's very important. It's something that I was painting with my, in the end of my career with some of my teammates, foreigners or Americans, that it's very important, the young guys. And now whoever is watching this, is try not to put a pause on your life. When I get back home, I do my after my career, I will live again. Try to embrace all this experience that you're having right now. Try to not to feel strangers or foreigners in a country. Okay, of course, you are foreigner. You are an American. You play in Greece or in Lithuania. But it's very important for guys to feel more comfortable on the court, to feel also comfortable off the court. Is something that is combined because feelings of players, of athletes, we many times or the most of the times we take with us on the court. Mm-hmm. And when you feel more engaged with the culture, more connected, I think it can do great. It can do great on the basketball court and it can help you in your basketball career. This is something important. Now speaking, because I would like also to mention that for me, you know, Italy was always is like my second country, and I will always say, because that was the first country that I lived abroad. I lived in 5-6 different ones, but then in Cesca, I had Ettore Messina, and you know, the whole, basically the most of the coaching staff were Italians. You know, it was Claudio Crippa. Then I had I went in Siena, and for 3 years again I was in Italy, and then I had Adrian Tricheri, I had Nicolò Melli, that was one of my favorite teammates of all time, and he was a main reason why I got to speak Italian, and I believe I had another step on my Italian languages. Sandro Beccardino, that he was my trainer, the trainer I had in many different teams, also in Kazan. In Greek national team for a summer, in Bamberg and Siena. So Italy for me, it's special. You know, as I said, I feel it is my second country. And actually one of my four boys, the first one, was born in Italy, in Siena. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Italy for me will always be in my heart.
Special place, yeah. As you say with the languages, to completely absorb yourself in the culture, you absolutely have to make an effort at least to learn the language. Because if you make an effort, you always get the respect from the other culture that right. He is actually trying to learn. And I remember they told me that when Trajan first got to Cesca, that he was going around with a notepad and writing down certain, you know, words or certain sentences just to remember better. And the same thing would happen to me as well. I didn't know Russian when I came, but they talked to me. The doctors talked to me in Russian. I had to, you know, they made jokes of me because my Russian sucked. I didn't know anything. But
yes,
at the end, making jokes and learning from these experiences, you grow, you learn, you understand. And then all of a sudden, you understand the culture. You are more in the family. You are more inside. Right. And right. Like you said, the off court carries over onto the court. Absolutely. And if you feel comfortable in your environment and you feel like you're part of the family, embracing, like you said, the whole culture and the life in the moment and not thinking about the past or the future or other place, grass is greener on the other side, the classic, you know, it's like living in the moment in that environment, I think is the key. As we are talking about cultures, and we're talking about, you mentioned Cesca as well, and for me, Cesca is also like a home. Let's talk about this time, this transition period of how, in particular, about role and playing time. Because before that, you had twice as many. I wrote down the minutes actually. From 33 minutes, it went down to 15 minutes a game. And with all, like, you know, this, the role acceptance takes character. You know, it's a different mindset. It's a different approach on a huge roster with everybody who can start, basically. How did you, or if you struggled to adjust, I don't know if you did or not, if you struggled to adjust to the shrinking of playing time, who helped you to go through this struggle at first? And then how did you adapt to the new role on a bigger team?
Yeah, that's great topic that you open up right now. I was always saying, Benaz, that for me, CSKA was my university. You know, I was calling it this way, that I went there when I was 24. And as you mentioned, you know, I was 24, but I had already did, let's say, good things in my career, you know, being European champion and vice world champion with the Greek national team. And I was the leader of the team, both in Nike and one of the leaders in Treviso, that we won the Italian league and we had a couple of great years. And, you know, when you are 24, you feel that you can conquer the world. Let's put it this way, that I can, yeah, I will go there and I will do the same thing in CSKA. And so when I went there and I really realized what be around champions, players of a very, very high level of basketball IQ, work ethic, personality, with a great coach, and having very big goals as a team. You know very well what means to play for CSKA, and you know, you have a very big responsibility and a very big pressure to achieve your goals. So for me, mention about the role, even that, let's say I didn't have, let's say, such a big role my 2 years in CSKA, except my second year when JR, I'm sure he will remember this, and also Trayson Langton, that JR was down for 2-3 months because he had a big injury early in the season. And I took over basically his role, and I did very well. I did very well. And I think there where I got the maximum respect of my teammates, and that, you know, he was ready. Team needed, and that was an important period of the team back in 2008-09. But in general, all in all, is that my 2 years there, Benaz, I think helped me so much throughout my whole career. The experience I got, what means to be in a team with high pressure, and how to live with this, you know, personal moments, you know, being around all these guys, you know, before Final Fours, all these big games, during games, is something I will never forget. You know, and I will always say this, that even that, let's say, I was expecting to do more in CSKA. For me, it was a very, very important chapter of my life, and it helped me very much for the continuation of my career. And talking about the acceptance of the role, that honestly for me was always about winning. I know sometimes, you know, it's natural that a human person, a person wants to, first of all, what he sees is himself. You know, mm-hmm. He wants to do good, to perform good and everything. But I think this helped me a lot. This experience helped me a lot to understand that it's very important when the team is winning and you are a part of it, bigger or smaller, it will help you in your career. So I think I found a way to help the team as much as possible as I could. And as I mentioned, all this experience, family helped me a lot until, you know, some months ago that I finished my career.
And that's one thing I appreciate you open up about, you know, because the struggles are not easy to talk about, you know, and that's where growth happens, you know, in the challenges, the growth happens. And you are, you achieved a lot throughout your career. You have multiple championships, but you know, to stay humble and to understand, put everything into perspective, it takes also somebody like your family to have a support system around you. But when you encountered throughout your career, I'm sure, and without mentioning any names, without talking about specifics, when you encounter players who don't accept it, who struggle to understand, how did you approach them? Did you let the team dynamics take care of it, or did you have like one-on-one talks with the guys to help them understand the situation? Because there's guys who have also the same talent, they have the high achieving and ego, but certain ego is necessary to succeed. But how did you approach this situation when Absolutely. There was conflict within the team?
Yes, especially in the, let's say, in the second stage of my career, that I was even, let's say, I was older and more experienced and already have, you know, many years under my belt. For sure, I was always trying to help. I had it naturally. You know, I always care about my teammates. I always trying to help them, to try to reach them and make them understand all this, all what they were facing through. I faced it in the past before them. You know what I mean? It was something. It's something natural. So yeah, I'm one of these. I was one of these guys in the team that I was always trying to help the younger guys to understand, you know, coaches' decisions, you know, see the big season is very long. You will have up and downs. It's very important to, you know, to stay patient, to stay in course, you know, do your job every day. Of course, the feelings can make you change even your work ethic. You know, this coach doesn't use me a lot, or he doesn't use me the right way. You can always have an excuse, and that's the bottom line. There is no job in the world, not only basketball, there is no job in the world that you cannot find an excuse to say, I cannot, you know, it's not my fault. Mm-hmm. And basketball is so, it's so many little details, yet you can always say, it's not my fault. It's so complex, you know, it's a team sport. It's five guys in, seven at least, that they are sitting on the bench dressed. Coach, assistant coach, second assistant coach, a lot of things, trainer, you can blame anyone. But in the end of the day, I was always telling them that you need to do, trying to control the things that give the 100% that you can give from your side, try to get better, be patient. And at least how I was looking at, good things will happen. That was from my personal, let's say, journey. There were many moments that, you know, I was even doubting myself that why I do that, why I don't play good, why. But when you love this so much, and when you are always trying, constantly trying to find a solution, be humble, and first of all, look yourself in the mirror, good things will happen. That's the messages that I was trying to give all younger guys.
Yeah, it's in the moment they don't realize it. You know, they lack perspective, they lack reflection, because you through experiences you can reflect on certain challenges that you had, but you also have to be honest to yourself in those situations to be, you know, like to take your personality down. It's like, yeah, I did make a mistake back then, and I have to learn from it. I have to grow. So it does take some your own reflection, but also people like you, like yourself, like a mentorship around them to guide them a little bit. Like you had also at IAC when you were 17. You know, it's a constant group dynamic. And like you said, you can blame in basketball because it's such a complex game, complex yes. reasons. You can always find something, some excuse, and this always this battle. I saw it on both sides between coaches and players, you know, and mm-hmm. then you also mm-hmm. try to justify. You can justify it. You can make it more like you can always find a justification for your action, you know. So it takes honesty, I believe.
Yes.
Let's talk about a little bit throughout your career when you are preparing for the game and then down. Bringing yourself back down again after the game. What did you think was essential for you as a player to be ready for the game? to go through, whether it's a routine or something. I don't know if you were superstitious or not, but some players yes. are. But certain things that you absolutely had to do to feel to be successful, and certain things after the game that you did also to calm yourself down again.
Yes, yes. First of all, Benas, I believe that everybody is different. So what I will just share what I was doing doesn't mean that necessarily is the way, you know, to be successful or whatever. At least that's what I was doing, and that's how I was feeling more comfortable, you know, week in and week out, I was preparing myself, you know. So for sure, it's a complete different thing when you are at home and when you're on the road. I believe when you're on the road, only the fact that, you know, when you jump in the plane and you have the trip, the road trip to go play with a team, you know, you put yourself already in, you know, I go there to do my job, you know, I will have my dinner with the team, then I will watch a movie or a game, and I will fall asleep and prepare myself the next day for the game and everything. I believe at home can be a little bit more complicated if you have family. I don't know, many guys, they have friends in town, you know, from abroad, and this can make the things, as I said, a little bit more complicated. So at least in my experience, and I'm blessed that I have a wife, and my family was always understanding my program, and so my day, we're still making fun about this with my wife, is that the game day I was a little bit different. First of all, I wasn't talking, you know, and she knew that she wouldn't mention with me, I don't know, even stuff for whatever, for family or something that we had to do the next day. No, the game day, I knew I would wake up, I would take my breakfast, go for the shoot around, then come back. Depends. Okay, some teams we stay in a hotel in a day use, as we used to say it, or in some other teams, even EuroLeague teams, I was coming back at home. The most of the players prefer, especially the family men, prefer to be in a hotel in a game day, because they could sleep, you know, they could take their lunch and sleep without any, you know, concerns, or maybe, you know, a child might be a little noisy or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But I was feeling very comfortable also at home. I remember my 4 years in Bamberg, we never stay in a hotel in a game day. And it was, let's say, great years of my career. And I was feeling great about this. So it's very important, in my opinion, to have a routine. And I wanted to finish saying that you need to have a routine. You need to have you need to eat in the right way and do the things that you feel comfortable. As I mentioned in the beginning, some other guy maybe feels more comfortable to do it in a different way. But it's very important to have a routine. But in my, I cannot see it differently, that you need to be focused all day long. You cannot, mm-hmm. you cannot switch on the light 30 minutes before the before the game. At least that's how I was looking at Venice. I was from game day, you know how you analyze the games, the opponents in a, okay, now the EuroLeague calendar, it's a little bit different compared even with 3-4 years ago, but I was always very focused all game day. And to finish, sorry, I it was a long answer, that after the game, my routine was, I wanted to have a dinner. I wanted to have a dinner, maybe to drink one beer or one glass or two glass of wine with my wife. That was my routine. That after game, no matter if it was a win or loss, in order, you know, to get out of my system the game. Okay, the most of the time I was still thinking about the game and about what I did well, mostly what I did wrong, and especially, as you know, after a loss. But my routine after the most of the games was, we had a dinner and trying to switch off a little bit,
decompress. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing to understand after the game, how bad or how good it was, that life continues after that. Because yes. in the basketball world, or let's say in the professional sports world, we live in a bubble, and it's a very, you know, a very constrained bubble with lots of dynamics depending on the team. One person comes in, it changes the whole dynamics. And then after especially after bad games, it's in your head for a long time. So to switch it off, it takes sometimes a little bit of a glass of wine or a good conversation, and just to calm your mind a little bit and to move on, because life yes. doesn't stop because of that. You know, life, it's a small part, you know, the win, the game. Although for us, it's a heavy, heavy, heavy part of our lives. But at the end of the day, it's over, you know, and yes. to have the mindset to really learn from it, check and move on.
And that's exactly, and that's where exactly experience comes. I remember until I was, let's say, maybe 27, every win is it's incredible, everything is great, and every loss is like a funeral, like you're saying, is that it's a disaster. And it's not like that. I remember I had a David Blatt used to say that. I remember very well. Say, guys, when the team was struggling, and my 2 years with him, I remember it was a couple of times, he used to say this. The things, when you lose consecutive games, the things are never as bad as they look. But also, when you win consecutive games, the things are not as great as you think they are. And, you know, thinking about it, it's so many little things that can shape a result of the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can be lucky and David also used to say another thing. In the end of the season that you will play 78, the amount of you're going to lose with a buzzer beater or with one rebound or one tip dunk or whatever, as many games you will win like that, many losses you will have like that. And it's something that, you know, stayed in my mind. Things that in order, you know, and what is this about? That you need to be patient. You need to be stable. Of course, feelings come into this. And we know very well that the result of a game about management, about changes of coaches and all this in European basketball is a reality. This is fact. But I think you cannot... You need to analyze the game. You need to, as a coach, then the coaching staff need to present it to the players. But, you know, life, as you said, moves on. And you need to get better. You need to understand what you did wrong and stick to the process, and good things will happen. All these are necessary steps in order to have a successful season, I believe.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to I thought about when you also said, you know, the highs and the lows, and, you know, you win. If you lose, it's a tragedy. And you played on some big teams in your career. And I was fortunate enough to experience some of that. But it's also, how do you find the joy? Because there's teams, there's situations where when you win, it's a relief that you won. When you lose, it's a complete disaster. So there has to be some joy somewhere, you know? So
that's a great question.
How do you find the joy in those situations where it's more of a relief and there's no celebration of winning each game because it's just another game that you were supposed to win? So where did you find the joy?
That's a great question and a great let's say you put it in the perfect way. People that watch this need to understand that 10-12 years ago, the best clubs of Europe, again, was CSKA, Barca, Madrid, Olympiacos, Panathinaikos, Maccabi, right? That was the teams. Fenerbahce was not still one of the best, but all these teams. So in 9 months, they were losing 6-7 games. That was it. It was the old system of EuroLeague system. It was, let's say, every loss was a huge headline. Huge, though. And it was numerous meetings and video analyzing and everything. And you say it perfectly. And again, I will say experience helped me about this. So when you were winning, we weren't even celebrating. And I said, what is going on here? So we win and we don't celebrate. We lose and we feel terrible. So you need to find again this balance and you need to understand that you cannot take it for granted. The fact that you are a great team with a great budget doesn't mean necessarily that it's an automatic win or an automatic championship. You need to celebrate. You need to live the moment. long journey in order to put yourself in position to win this title or to win, to go to the Final Four. And I believe, again, experience helps about enjoying this moment and not take it for granted. But again, I would say that it's so much better for an athlete, even for a coach, I believe, to be a kind of Cinderella story, you know, come mm-hmm. out of nowhere. Nobody believes in you. Nobody thought that you would make it. And when you finally do it, the feelings there is something incredible. But again, I have huge amount of respect to these teams that from day one, they are, you know, they are built to do it. And 300 days later, they achieve it with all the pressure of the world, with all media talking about, okay, they will be the champions. They are people that they dedicate themselves for 10 months in order to arrive at this moment. And that's what I want to finish, that you cannot take it for granted. It's a very difficult journey. The fact that they have a full roster doesn't mean that it was necessarily easy to do it.
Yes, it's on paper is one thing, but it's essentially what my conclusion is, if as a player, if you experience that and you can't handle this 10 months of pressure and you rather you enjoy more playing for Cinderella and win one out of 10 seasons maybe, then you're not made for the highest level. Because for the highest level, you have to have the approach and the mentality that this is what it's going to be like. The pressure will be there for 10 months, 10 and a half months, or whatever the season goes for whatever league. And it will be moments of frustration, a lot more frustration and less joy. But at the end, when you, like you said, when you do achieve it and you make those final steps and you had a whole process of 10 months to go through the ups and downs, the relief and the joy at the end, it's compounding everything that you missed out over the season.
Yes.
It's compounding, and then the release comes. So I think that essentially what I'm saying, if the player doesn't understand, doesn't embrace the situation, then he's not made for that level.
Yes. You put it in a great way again. And that's why, again, for me, CSKA was my university.
it was my military. It was your university.
That's why I always saying how I was that for me, you know, after, you know, being there, and it's a great family and it's a great club. Really, I have huge amount of respect for all the people, and it's so nice to see them. They are still basically all the same as Andrei, yes. But from the office, and you know. Sorry, now I forgot his name. A photographer, Michael, right?
Misha,
exactly. So people, or Nikolai, the press officer, people that they are there every day, they are a family. But when you play in this team, you know, it's not necessarily always fun, because you know that it's a very, very high level of a club that has high goals. So, and I want to mention this, that after, so my 2 years there, wherever I was feeling pressure, that, you know, I had teammates that said, oh man, it's so much stressful and so we don't enjoy as much, you know. So you don't enjoy here? You don't enjoy? Maybe you have to go play for the red and blue team to understand what pressure means. That when you have to win every single game for 10 months, can make it not as, you know, it's something that, you know, it can, of course, now the calendar is different than us. Okay.
It's
34
yes.
regular season.
Yes.
It's a little bit different. Now the first seed will have, I don't know, 25-9
yes.
or something like this. They will have losses. They will have up and downs. That's what the last 3-4 years showed us in EuroLeague. But yes. 10, 15 years ago was a little bit different.
One last question about the player part before we go and talk a little bit about your retirement, the process of retirement. But you saw a lot of scout reports in your days, and coaches like to overdo it. So tell me in one good fashion, what's too much? Where is the line? Because you probably seen some really good ones and some really, really like overly repeating the details that are probably not necessary, and you can, with high level players, you can correct them during the game. But where do you draw the line? What's too much?
Again, again, I will have to, but it's a lot dependent with the calendar. So when we had 20 games to reach the Final Four overall, it was the old calendar with only 10 regular season games and top 16 and quarterfinal playoffs and Final Four. It was 21 games you were winning the EuroLeague. Every game was final. And every game, how was scouted and how was presented to the player was let's say, with the deep analysis of how everything had to be done. I believe with this calendar, I was very comfortable with this, to be honest. I was never felt overwhelmed with information. Every added information, it was helping me. And especially, in my opinion, especially about defense, you know, how you can react in a certain area. And again, experience matters. But, you know, you are more accustomed of how, you know, you need to operate and how to do all this on the court, to execute this on the court is something that helps you. I believe now, Benas, the last years, you cannot do this. You need to have very simple, you know, you play every 2 days, you travel so much, you play the high-level team now. And, it's, okay, ACB is the most amount of games from Madrid and Barca, but I believe you need to have a solid basis that you know that this is the things that we start, that we do every day. And you need to be able, as a coaching staff, in my opinion, this is my opinion, and when I was getting this information from my coach, is that just give me a couple of tips of offense and defense how to be able to perform tonight. Because when you play so many games, you will think more, actually play the game. And I believe also this has to do also with that the game changed, Dennis. 10, 12 years ago, the game wasn't as quick. You didn't react. You didn't have to react as fast as now. So I believe that this has to do also with the game itself.
The speed of the game.
The speed of the game. This, again, is my personal opinion that now, the last years of my career, that you don't need so much information. You need to keep it simple, trying to give certain tips to players. And again, as a coach, you understand what kind of group you have. You have a group that can understand the things easier, you know, the basketball IQ of the group. This is very important things in order to make yourself, your team to perform better.
Yes. I agree. You have to, as a coach, you have to have a feel for the dynamic in the group and the level of competence at that stage.
Exactly.
So to touch and to talk about your retirement, I know we're already getting close to 1 hour, and I appreciate your time, your patience. It's a lot of lessons
to
take.
It's fun for me.
It's a lot of lessons to take away. So I'm trying to have the correct substance for the listeners to take something away. Because of your experiences, I'm sure there was a lot of rich experiences in your mind, in your soul, and it was difficult to let go. Of finding the time to when to let go of your career. So how was it more difficult to leave something behind and knowing that it's finished, or was there more fear of what's going to be next in terms of like your next steps as a professional after basketball? Where was the bigger bigger challenge, let's say, from either side?
My main concern about the decision for my retirement was I wanted to make sure that was it. It's so simple, you know? So I will go back a little bit, and I would like to share this, that 2019, it was the when I finished from Bamberg, and it was the first thing that I started to think about it a little bit. That maybe is the time, you know, I was already 14 years abroad, you know, my family was getting bigger. I started to have some thoughts on my mind. And then when I had the honor and the opportunity to go to with San Antonio as a guest coach, And I experienced this. I remember very well, Benes, that I was sitting in the bench in Las Vegas as a guest coach, that you are not a player. And I was sitting there. I sit and I saw the players playing. I say, wait, now me, I will not going to play basketball again. No way. Really, it was so simple. I was thinking for some days and I was a free agent. I didn't have a team, you know. And I was watching and I said, no. I'm not ready to do it. So when I had this personal experience, I understood that when I will make up my mind, I have to be 100% sure. And to be honest with you, I did it. So I took a decision. Now I ended up finishing my career 2 years later. A lot of things happened in these 2 years that, you know, I went in Badalona. It was at the time for me, it was a great decision because I was feeling great to play in it. A lot of things changed with the life of family in Spain, and we ended up moving back in Greece. My wife was pregnant at the fourth, and the pandemic started. So it's all this a complex, and it came the opportunity to finish my career where I started, and I feel blessed about this also, that the circle was finished, you know, from Ike and again back to Ike after 21 years. So I knew last year, the last months of my career, I made up my mind that this is it, Nikos. And now that it's, you know, the season started and I'm watching basketball, and because I love basketball and I love to watch basketball, I don't feel, you remember I told you about Las Vegas that I was watching. I have already been in 3 different games physically, not only watching from TV, here in Thessaloniki to watch game. And I didn't feel the same way. I felt that I love basketball. I love to watch it. But what I have done it, I you know, I had a career, good, bad, whatever. I had a long journey, but this is it. And that's why I believe it's very important for any guys that they are watching this and they are maybe towards the last stage of the career to be 100% sure that that this is it for them. Because me as a person, it's 2 things also I would like to share. One, I wouldn't like to make this move to come back. I've seen a lot of guys, I respect this. It's something that it come from within everybody. You know, it's a will that, you know, I have to get back on the court. There are the, first of all, Michael Jordan came back to play. Okay? If the god of basketball came back to play, okay. But it's something that I didn't want to do it, let's say. And second, it was very important. Okay, now it's sorry, it's now the little one. It was very important for me. It was very important for me, so that I knew that that was it. I gave everything to the game, and now let's think what is next. I didn't want to make also something like that. I know. Maybe this is not the best way to do the things. I know the most of the persons I understand this, they say that during my career, during their careers, they are already made up their mind what is next. For me, it's more, you know, I was focused 100% what I was doing. I have some thoughts. I will stay for sure in the game. Just I want to make sure what is best for me and best family. For sure, I will stay with one way or another. I will stay with basketball because this is my life, except my family. But after so many years of have to do, you know, to have a program and a schedule, and you know, living so many years abroad, having 11 month season with national team for over 15 years because I had my national team, I just want to have to do the simple stuff. It's that simple, you know, being able to drive to my kids' school or practice, have a weekend off that I never had any weekends off for 20 plus years. And it's something that I enjoy now. Again, basketball, I love basketball. I know that I will be around basketball soon. But it's also time just to be an ordinary person with no, you know, with weekends and with not all this schedule that was so difficult at times and so demanding.
Yeah, you're comfortable closing the door. You came to the point where you're comfortable not looking through the door a little bit and sneaking in, but you finally closed it and now you left it behind. And the identity changes to a certain extent, because as a player, you know, for over 20 years, there's only one thing you knew, how to be a player, and then obviously when family arrived, you learned how to be a family man. But Pozzo said the same thing. He enjoys just being an ordinary person. Everybody,
yes.
He goes into office and they all have casual clothes and sweatshirts. And he enjoys the opposite, because he was wearing sweatshirts and sports clothes the whole time. So he enjoys dressing up and looking like he's going to the office. So I think, again, embracing the new life, embracing the new challenges that are ahead. And you know, living a new identity and learning more about yourself, I think is the key. Did you experience a little bit of identity change when you finally stopped and you had some vacation time, you had some weekends, did you feel like something strange is going on, or was it just like I'm good, finished?
Honestly. I don't feel it. I have to be honest. And it's not that, you know, now I will switch off the iPad and I will go to my wife, you know, and I will say, no, I couldn't admit it, you know. I was blessed. I look it this way, Benas, that I was blessed to have a very long journey. I never thought it would be like that. I started as a young kid in love with basketball, you know. I'm more appreciative, I feel really blessed. Again, I repeat myself, of all the experiences I had, you know, all the people I met. Okay, success is one thing, titles, contracts. But the fact that all this happened with meeting so many new people and working with people that I admire and respect, and the fact, and on top of this, and most importantly, having the chance to do all this with the family that I created, you know, with my wife and my four children, is something that you know, I cannot put it in words. And the fact that, as I said, it's very important of how I look, how I feel, that I don't feel that, oh man, I have regrets. I had to do this. I had to do that. Of course, I did you know, things that I couldn't, let's say, I would say that, I would like also to be able to do this, let's say, in my career. But I know that I give everything I had. So even I don't have this kind of feelings, you know, I don't feel that
peace.
I had to do this.
You're
because even when I was not playing good, because I knew I was dedicated 100%, even when I was struggling, even when I wasn't playing, I had 0 for 10 or in games and I was playing terrible. I knew that I was dedicated and I was doing everything I could in order to perform. So when I finished all this journey, I don't have regrets.
Yes.
You know, I knew that as a person, as a human being, I tried to do the maximum. So now I'm in peace, going in the stage of my career that I can give myself, you know, to my kids now that I'm here. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. That's okay. You applied yourself fully. You applied yourself fully, and you're in peace.
Yes. Sorry, Benas. The last thing is that also I had in my mind that I wanted, when I finished, that I was able to. I'm not saying to be the best player, of course. I don't know how many times I was the best player of my teams, but I want to be able to perform, to play 15, 20 minutes. And I think it was very important. I never liked this. Okay, he's the 12th player as a veteran, as an old great player. I couldn't function like that. And I had it on my mind. When I finished, I know that I will play 15 minutes, 17 minutes, be able, one of them, not the old guy that he's here because he's a good mentor or he's a good, I don't know, a good veteran. I always wanted to be considered and as a guy that I will practice every day, because, you know, there are a lot of veterans that don't practice a lot and I'm fine with it, but it wasn't fine with me.
Yeah.
So that's another thing I want to share, you know.
That's very good. It's very useful for you know your perspective because like you said also it's your perspective and it doesn't mean it's for somebody yes. else it's the same. So some other players exactly. are comfortable with other roles. But I heard your son is cursing at me. So I'll
with his own, he's 20 yeah. months. He's the little one. So
yeah,
you know it's very funny this period about saying his words. You know.
But I wanted to finish up with the typical Final Four. So Final Four quick, because Final Four is it's everybody's European basketball players and coaches dream to play in the Final Four. And I wanted to finish off with Final Four questions, quick hitters as I also like to call it. So the first one would be the biggest most single important advice you would give to your younger self.
I'm sorry, Ben. Can you repeat because the line went off a little bit?
Yes. The biggest, most single important advice you would give to your younger self?
Just live the moment. That was that's the, in my opinion, that's the better advice. Just live the moment. Live the present.
When do you know you're pushing yourself too hard?
Great. I think when you are not feel comfortable, you know, when you are nervous too much, because you will have nerves, you will have a kind of reaction. But when you feel that you are not yourself, it's time to understand, to try to search what is going on. And it's very possible that it might be this. Pushing yourself too much might push even mentally yourself, not only maybe physically, I don't know, run 2 hours more than anybody else, but even mentally that I need to do better. I need to do better. Sometimes when you push yourself too much and you react, you need to try to find solutions.
When do you know you're pushing yourself not hard enough?
It's difficult for me to answer this question, but yes, again, it's... sometimes when you play bad and you try to find solutions, one of them might be, you know, you are not shooting as much extra, or I don't know, you need to get back on the treadmill and to get back even in more, to get in more shape. Mm-hmm. I think it's more about understanding yourself of, okay, especially this after a certain age when you are more experienced, but
yep.
I was struggling very well. It was my third year in Bamberg, and it was with my spot up shooting. And you know, just there is no miracles. Shoot more, shoot extra. Mm. You are comfortable of what you did the first two years in Bamberg.
Mm. One skill outside of basketball that you wish you had.
One skill outside of basketball, huh? skill that exists or an imaginary skill, you know, that does, because I met with my children, we say, I wish we could have transportation. The idea that you push the button and you are in the other
that
skill. I don't know, man. Really, it's I cannot say something that outside of basketball. I would say maybe the skill is
that's the toughest question I could ask.
Yeah. Sorry, it made me that I don't know exactly what to answer you. So, toughest skill. The skill I would like to have, maybe I will say this, that sometimes, you know, try not to, you know, to find a way, you know, I'm always honest, always straight, always say the thing, that sometimes this is not the greatest skill you can have. I didn't answer exactly that. sometimes, you know, when try to find a solution and to, in order to do something, you know, this is all the court. And, you know, sometimes this is me. I cannot function in a different way. I'm straight. I'm honest. Yeah. I cannot, otherwise I don't feel good with myself. So yes. I don't have the skill to how to find a solution of, you know, of being my character.
Political correctness.
Of not even political correctness. I would say, okay, this sometimes, yeah, you will answer politically correct. But, you know, how you handle the things in a problem. When there is a problem, I will be straight, because that's how, and sometimes you lose from this.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, right. That was too long. Sorry, but
yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good.
I had to find a real one. You know, is something that it's me, and this is something that I don't have. I don't have the skill.
It's you know, for some situations is helpful, but mostly I think that your way is the right way. You know, to say straight up, and there's no second guessing. There's no reading between the lines. There's no, what did he mean? What is it? I'm like this too. I'm honest. And sometimes you feel like I should have not lied, but I shouldn't have said the whole truth.
Because,
people tell me like, look, they ask me a question or they tell me don't do this and this and that situation. And I don't feel comfortable in that situation if I don't say what I feel, because I'm a very intuitive person. Intuition, like honesty, is for me one of the highest values that a person has to have. If there's no honesty and I don't feel it from the other person, there's no trust. No trust, there's no relationship. No relationship, there's no life.
That's exactly, you said it perfectly. That's exactly what I want to say. That's what exactly what I mean to be. You say, not lie, but maybe don't say the whole truth. That's the thing that I keep. But again, this is, you know, sometimes you cannot change yourself. This is you. It's difficult to change what you really make you feel comfortable and natural.
Yes, you know? But Nikos, we don't have to change. Staying true to ourselves is the key. And Nikos, I don't want to take up more of your time. I appreciate you. I appreciate this that you came on and agreed to talk. I'm very I'm very hopeful, and I understand. I know that this will help a lot of players, a lot of next generation players. So thanks for your time. Thanks for being honest and humble as always. And I hope to see you soon sometime in Athens or maybe on the road somewhere so we can talk a little bit more.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me, Benas. It was fun for me to talk more than an hour and talk about basketball, that, as you know, this is my life. I hope this helps a little bit of the younger generations, and I just wish them the best. Whoever is watching this, just wish them best of luck for this season, a healthy season, full of success, and just have fun on the court.
Bravo.
Thank you very much.
Ευχαριστώ,
thank you
φίλε.
Very much. Παρακαλώ. Have a nice day. Thank you very much, Dennis. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.